Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sid, this is kind of an interesting transitional episode. It's our last episode this year.
We're recording it in 2021.
Right.
But you are listening to it in the future.
Greetings from the past.
2022. I hope things are better.
Turning around a little bit. I mean, one can hope.
It's just a few days away,
yeah.
So it's not. So I keep,
don't okay. I'm knocking on all the adjacent wood in our homes.
I don't believe in those sorts of superstitions, Justin. I am a scientist.
Oh, really, Sydney? Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of science have you prepared for us this week on our science program, Science Watch?
As a scientist, it is my job to investigate all unique human phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how strange they may seem.
Can you give me
and I also
examples?
I also thought this would be a fun way to end this year.
And begin a new one.
Something light, something funny and fun and interesting, and not too heavy, because I'm sure there will be heavy stuff to talk about in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at TikTok, you know, spacing out and dissociating while looking at TikTok.
Hey.
Our new favorite pandemic pastime, I think we've all engaged in.
Yep.
And I noticed some people talking about TJ Maxx, specifically about the idea that, and I don't know this is not my experience.
Okay.
I just saw this on TikTok. The idea that when you are in TJ Maxx for a while, you have the urge to go number two.
Okay, now listen, from what you've told me, you're going to be talking about number two a lot in this episode, and I'm afraid that you're going to need to be okay with saying the P word.
Do you want me to say defecate?
You didn't. That
it's almost worse.
The worst.
It's almost worse.
That's the
anyway,
worst one.
Either way, people were talking about that on TikTok, and then a bunch of people in the comments were like, me too. I can't believe that. I thought it was just me. And somebody said in the comments, oh, yeah, that's the Mariko Aoki phenomenon.
Mm.
And I was like, What? I have got to look that up. So I did. And this is a whole thing that I was not familiar with. I have not personally experienced, but apparently many people have. And now I would like to share this with you.
Specific to TJ Maxx?
No, it's not specific to TJ Maxx, but it is. Okay. So the history of this, and by the way, Justin, I have put the because you are learning Japanese.
Hey.
At the top of my document here, I have put the Japanese name for this, if you would like to.
Aoki Mariko Ginsho.
Okay. Well, I figured that was how you say it.
Yeah. Aoki.
Am I pronouncing
Aoki
that?
Aoki is.
Aoki and Mariko?
Ao is.
Do I have the stress on the right syllables?
Yeah, that's good. Ao is blue, and ki, in this case, this is kanji for tree. So, blue tree.
Well, this is a person's name.
Yes, but it translates to blue tree.
Oh, interesting.
But it doesn't probably actually translate to that. Those are the two. I know these two kanji, and they mean blue and tree.
And I assume Gensho means phenomenon.
That's probably our best.
Since the other two words are the name of
that's
this
enough of an amorphous person. Idea that I'd be shocked if it's like exactly 100% one to one, but I bet it's pretty darn close.
So
I know that one of these kanji means reason. That's all I know.
Okay. So back in February of 1985, this is where this phenomenon Well, our awareness of it really originates. A 29-year-old woman from Tokyo named Mariko Aoki had a letter published in
her
the
last
magazine.
Name's first in the. Did you notice that in her name?
Oh, yeah.
Aoki Mariko, because you would, how they do it.
Yeah. I'm using her entire name because I thought that was appropriate since mm-hmm. I don't know her personally.
Mm-hmm. You could go with Aoki-san.
I know usually on this podcast we get pretty casual with our historical figures, like ancient history. Yes. But for recent history.
Here, since this is an American podcast, we will drop the san, but Aoki-san would be.
Okay.
If you want to go with that.
Anyway, she wrote a letter to a magazine, which would you like to give us the name of the magazine?
Honnozashi. That's Book Magazine.
Yes, Book Magazine.
The magazine of books. That's
Book Magazine. And she wrote a letter to this magazine. And the reason that that is given for why it was published is that the editor thought it was a little funny. It was kind of a funny little letter that they got, and they thought, oh, people will be interested in this.
Funny,
this is
a funny letter.
This is kind of funny. So they published this letter, and in it, she said, basically, every time I'm in a bookstore for a while, I get the urge to go poop. Why does this happen? Why is it that when I'm in a bookstore, browsing the shelves, looking around, I am struck by the very sudden urge that I must immediately go poop? Why does this happen? And apparently, they published this little letter, like, oh, this is funny. And they got a huge reaction. A ton of readers were like, oh my gosh, I do too. Oh, I have had that exact same sensation and wanted to talk about it and wanted to share like their interpretation of it. For me, it's like this. And for me, it also happens here. And for me, it's like, and they got such a response that the magazine, Book Magazine, did like a follow-up feature-length article in their next issue that came out in April of 85 that was titled, The Phenomenon Currently Shaking the Bookstore Industry. Which is a little bit of sensationalism, I think. I don't know that it was currently shaking the bookstore industry as much as apparently it had been all along.
Yeah.
And no one was aware. But this really drew a ton of attention to it when this article was published, and a lot of people began to sort of understand it as like a thing that actually happened. Now, as I was trying to read about like the history of this, it was noted that I guess, and I liken this to, you know, in the US we have a tendency to put gate at the end of things. Yeah. Like if something's like a scandal, mm-hmm. it's whatever gate, you know, like when you made that really spicy mix last night, it was like spicy gate because then I ate it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so spicy. Spice gate.
You said, this is delicious. You said multiple times.
It was just really spicy.
No, you said multiple times.
It was like spicy Chex Mix gate.
Three different instances.
The stuff you made this morning was so much better because it wasn't so spicy.
But yeah. You said last night.
This is a gate. That we have just, this is a gate.
Oh, it's a gate. Now it's ringing marriage gate.
And I don't know.
What I would say.
I know medical history. I don't know, you know, modern Japanese history, but my understanding is that culturally, this was a time where a lot of things would have been called phenomena. That was a popular thing to name phenomena.
I will adjust it. I thought a little bit of the spice was nice.
It just, yes.
It was hot buttered Cheerios with hoisin sauce and a little bit of sriracha in there.
So because of this, the need to defecate after being in a bookstore for a little bit, urgently, I should say, became known as the Mariko Aoki phenomenon. And as I'm going to talk about this.
I just hope at least reached out. It was like, hey, you're about to have your 15 minutes and it's for this.
Hey,
and this is going to be your, I mean. Speaking as the berries and cream guy, like, uh-huh. This is her berries and cream.
Look at the next thing I wrote. Before you get worried.
Yeah, okay.
She reportedly has no problem with this. I worried about this, too. As I was researching this, I was like, oh.
Yeah, you can't put
what if this poor woman did not want to be known for this? She has had multiple, like, follow-up interviews with Book Magazine where they talk to her about it. And where she says, like, yeah, I'm totally fine with this being named after me and this phenomenon being associated with me. Like, it does not bother me.
How are those
I'm not upset
interviews
about this.
Longer than two questions? What? For question one, how do you feel about this pooping syndrome being after you? Question two, so do you still have to poop when you're in bookstores? End of interview.
Well, so we're going to go through this medically, step by step, but I think it's important to note this phenomenon seems to have really captured the imagination of a lot of people. It really seems to be, for whatever reason, something that has interested a lot of people, has resulted in a lot of research and scholarship and focus. A lot of people seem to latch on to this idea. Okay. So why were there multiple follow-up interviews? For that reason, because a lot of people had questions. Now, as much as there has been scholarship done since then, it is worth noting, because as I was reading through this, there were several mentions. People have said, like, now, I know we attribute this to Mariko Aoki, but there were mentions of this prior to 85. And it seems to be mainly, and this is also probably a function of where this research has been done. So, like, most of the literary references prior to this were in Japanese literature, but a lot of the research and interest was in Japan and continues to be. So I don't know, there may be references to this outside of Japan, but that's where they've been investigating. But there are like mentions of this in different books, like as far back as the 1950s, there are mentions on some radio programs and some magazines. So like this wasn't the first time that this idea that you go into a bookstore and then urgently have to poop has been introduced. It was just that this article is what broke through the public consciousness and really introduced it as its own idea. Because by the 1990s, it was just sort of an accepted fact.
Once you put it in a platform like Honnozashi, it's like, who's not reading Love magazine?
And then as you get into the 2000s with the internet, like an idea like this can really take off, right? Because then everybody everywhere can know about it and people can write about it. They can try to validate it, try to do surveys about it, try to, you know, replicate it and see, is this something that is really real? And the studies that have been done on this, they range from, so first of all, there are a lot of surveys of people who experience it. Like to try to understand it better, sort of like qualitative research. Tell me about where it happens. What is it like? What does it feel like? You know, what did you do the night before? What did you eat that day? Like all these different sort of collecting data from people who already experience it. And then like demographics, like age, gender, that kind of thing. And then there's also like studies of the general population. Like they've done surveys in Japan, like to ask people, where are you most likely to need to feel the urge to poop? Like while you're standing on a train platform or while you're sitting in your office or while you're in a bookstore. And while you're in a bookstore comes up pretty high on the list of like where you might need to have to poop. They've also done things like a blinded study to see, okay, is this real or is this just people thinking it because they read about it? So they did one study where they had people like wander around a bookstore, which I love the idea of like, tell them, what did you tell them? Well, here's what I need you to do for this study that you've signed up for. Go in this bookstore and wander around.
Yeah.
And do, just be there.
Just be in the bookstore.
Just be there. And then after they were done, they sat them down and interviewed them and then were like, so did you poop? Which would feel, personally, if I had, would feel like a trap to me.
Yeah, that would feel very targeted, Sydney, I think. So, while we have you here,
Did you poop in there?
Why don't they? That's a stupid way of doing that study. You know what you should do? Do it, just stand outside the door of the bookstore and say, did you have a poop while you're in there or what? What's the deal?
Honey, if you stood outside the door of a bookstore and just asked people on their way out if they pooped inside,
I wouldn't be dressed like a scientist.
You would be arrested.
No, I wouldn't dress like a scientist because I don't want to put people on edge. So it would be more like just like a regular guy. And I wouldn't have anything obvious to write with or to write on. It would just be standing and I would sort of...
No. Okay. You're a customer in Borders. You're a customer.
Good pull. Can it be Walden Books instead?
You're a customer at Walden Books. You have just browsed the shelves for a while. You're exiting Walden Books at the Huntington Mall.
The Dalton bookseller.
Uh-huh. And there is a guy standing there outside. Now, which scenario is more unsettling? He's in a lab coat with, like, science goggles and a clipboard. And he's like, excuse me, sir. Did you poop while you were in there? And he's, like, writing down your information. Or just some guy in like, you know,
both pretty bad, aren't they?
A Shrek t-shirt.
Why are you making fun of my Shrek t-shirt? It was something
he's
I had to clean.
Hanging out in a Shrek t-shirt, and he's like, hey, man, real quick, real quick.
Hey, donkey.
hold up. Did you...
Sweet Shrek.
Did you poop in there? And he doesn't have a clipboard, so he's not writing anything down. It just seems like he needs to know for his own interest. Okay. Which one is worse?
Moving on.
Okay.
They're both bad, I will say.
So they got some data from this, from all these studies that were done over time, and different people were doing this, different thinkers, researchers, psychologists, just people who wanted to know more. And some data that emerged from this is that while we don't really know how frequently it occurs, they've estimated it could be up to 1 in 10 people.
Wow.
Studies were like 1 in 10 to 1 in 20. Now, again, who knows?
To know how many people usually are pooping in the I guess there's not – you can't do a control, right? Because if once you're in there, you're in there. I guess the control would be go into a clothes store and see if you have to poop.
Yeah, well, you could compare it to other stores or like a sham bookstore, but I don't know how you create a bookstore that isn't a bookstore but people think is a bookstore.
Uh-huh.
You go in, it's just pictures of books on like you go touch them and they're just cardboard things with pictures of books on them.
Okay, can I make a request? Oh. I need you to move. My brain is moving so quickly on theories for this.
Okay.
I know. I have a lot of thoughts.
We're going to get to theories on it. But before we do that, we're going to have to hit the billing department.
Let's go. Oh, no, the billing department always makes me have to poop.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
You've probably heard about HelloFresh in the past. It's a huge meal kit in America, the number one meal kit in America. But this fall, they're serving up even more love. Folks, this isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's new. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. You can also, if you're into veggies, you can eat greener with some new veggie-packed recipes that have two or more veggies per dish. I gotta say, folks, that's ambitious for me. I think a two-veggie meal, I'd be feeling pretty darn good about myself. I really like this new offering from HelloFresh. All these options, you are definitely going to find some stuff that you love. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only, varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus free breakfast for life. I think staying connected is really one of the best gifts that you can give during this holiday season. And I think Aura Frames is a really good way of doing that. Here's what you do. It's a digital photo frame. You set it up for the intended recipient, or they can set it up themselves, you know, if they're a little bit more tech savvy. But once that's done, you are able to send pictures onto that photo frame from anywhere wirelessly through the Aura app. So imagine this. You set it up for grandma, and then you capture a picture of the kids at the zoo. Maybe there's 5 dolphins. You're like, holy crap, grandma loves dolphins. She's going to love this picture. Well, she could be seeing it just by uploading it directly to her frame. Even if grandma's already got one, what if she needs a second one in the toilet? Or it doesn't have to be in there. It could be anywhere. But imagine that. Beautiful designs from Aura range from like – I just saw the new Carver mat that I – it's new to me. I got a new Carver mat frame. It's really beautiful. I like all the designs, and I think you will too. Not just for you though. Maybe it's a gift. But you know what? Grab one for yourself. You're going to be jealous. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Annabelle Gurrich.
And I'm Laura House.
And we're the hosts of Tiny Victories.
My tiny victory is that I sewed that button back on the day after it broke.
We talk about that little thing that you did that's a big deal to you, but nobody else cares.
Did you get that Guggenheim Genius Award?
We don't want to hear from you.
We want little bitty tiny victories.
My tiny victory is a tattoo that I added onto this past weekend.
Let's talk about it.
My victory is that I'm 1 year cancer free, but my tiny victory
is that I took all of the cushions off the couch, pounded them out, put them back, and it looks so great.
So if you're like us and you want to celebrate the tiny achievements of ordinary people, listen to Tiny Victories.
It's on every Monday on Maximum Fun.
All right, Sid, I was getting anxious, but I'm going to let you keep your own pace. I'm so excited to talk about why this is happening.
Okay.
I have lots of theories.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of theories. Trust me. So a little bit more info on who gets it. It seems to be mainly an adult thing. Seems like 20s and 30s are like prime years for this. Mm-hmm. Certainly there were a couple kids, a couple older adults, but mainly 20s and 30s. It does seem to have like a slightly female predominance. There was one study that noted it never happens in, quote, sporty males. I don't know what that means.
Just regular sporty males in a bookstore.
Sporty males in bookstores don't poop. I mean, they poop, but not in the bookstore.
Yeah.
It is noted that Mariko Aoki's mom thinks it has a genetic predisposition because her uncle has it too.
So. Oh, interesting.
Okay. So that's an interesting, you know, piece of information. Layer. People describe it different ways. Three things are always consistent. You're in the bookstore for a while. Like, it's not something that hits you when you walk in.
Okay.
Like, you're in there for a little bit. You get the urge to poop, and the urge itself is very sudden. Like,
okay, like, whoa.
It's not like, I think I have to go to the bathroom. It's like, oh, yeah. No.
It's
oh,
like,
no.
Yeah. Like that.
I guess you could make that noise. Like cartoon noises. Yeah. Some people say it is when you have found the book you want. Some people say it's like when you're ready to make your final selection, like you're ready to narrow it down. Others say it's that when you're just sort of like you get to a part of the bookstore and you look around and you're closed in by a bunch of shelves. There's shelves all around you. That's what triggers the urge. Some people get other symptoms with it, like shortness of breath or dizziness. A lot of people panic, but part of that is just like, I need to get to the bathroom. Most seem to be able to make it to the toilet. Not all.
Oh, man.
Most can, like, successfully get to the bathroom before they poop, but not everybody.
Okay, wait. So the scientist is like, did you poop in there? And you're like, well, yes, I did. And then the scientist is like, just one more question before I let you go. One more question. Did you poop in your pants?
Why, yes, I did.
Did you poop in your pants? As you wish.
There's been a lot of debate about libraries. Do libraries count? Because some people are like, oh, it absolutely happens in libraries. And other people are like, very distinct. No. It never happens in the library, but it absolutely does happen in the bookstore.
What if they're doing the used book fair upstairs on the fourth floor in the AV area? They're selling books. Then all of a sudden.
They did ask in a lot of these studies bookstore employees. Because that seems like a good place to start. And most of them don't have, like, they seem pretty immune to it. Like, if you work in a bookstore, you are not doing, you know, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be hard. Other types of stores are mentioned. Like, people will say, this also happens to me, you know, in clothing stores or shoe stores or whatever. You know, other places you might go and spend a little bit of time browsing. TJ Maxx, perhaps. But not as consistently as the bookstore. The bookstore seems to come up the most.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated, they asked people to describe what the urge feels like when you get the urge to poop.
They hadn't experienced it before?
Well, I think what they were looking for was like the intensity. And like a lot of these explanations are what most of us feel like, I think, when we have to poop, which
just
is
the
like,
regular poop feelings.
Like a heaving sensation in the rectal passage or a filling up sensation in the lower abdominal area. So like, you know, like you got to poop. But other people said things like, it was, quote, hellish.
Hellish?
And Armageddon class.
Wow.
So when we talk about an intense urge to poop, I think it's important to remember.
Very intense.
Very intense for some people. I mean, not everybody experienced this, but there were people who, like, as a result said that before they would go to a bookstore, they would ensure they weren't wearing white pants.
Mm-hmm.
There was one person who said he would never go to bookstores because of this. And there was somebody who wouldn't even live near bookstores because just the thought or sight of a bookstore made them have to poop so badly that they avoided all like mention and appearance of bookstores in their lives.
Okay.
So why?
Okay. Can I give you my theory?
Okay. There's lots of theories.
Okay. I'll go through mine quickly then.
Okay. Are you going to tell us if you experienced this at some point? Is that like you're saving it towards the end? I've already said I've never experienced this.
You know me, if there's a public bathroom, I just got to get in there. You know me.
This is true about Justin. If he uses every public restroom we encounter, like at a restaurant, that's like step one. We sit down, we order the drinks, he's in the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't have any commentary there. It's just an embarrassing personal
fact.
I
try never to use public restrooms.
Yeah. You say it's me, do I say it's my name? Okay. Here's number one, and I really like this theory. I think it's probably a constellation of things because this is not some weird freak occurrence. It is having to poop. I mean, we all
right. That is something we all do.
So I think there's probably a little bit of the hiccup phenomenon, as I call it, where it's just like, what was the last thing that you had to do before? Mm-hmm. Last thing you did before your hiccups were cured. Well, that didn't cure your hiccups. But one, what is something that is sold in bookstores other than books?
Coffee.
This is
something people have brought up.
That's one. The other one is that I was thinking about is you go into there's almost no need in this day and age to go into a bookstore. Like you really compared mm-hmm. to a lot of stores, like you probably don't need to go into the bookstore. You're going to the bookstore because like you like to go into the bookstore, right?
Right.
So you're going to be less directed. And you're just kind of like, I don't know, I'm just going to see what's at the bookstore.
Right.
So you're just like spending maybe a little bit longer there. You're relaxing a little bit. You're a little more comfortable. Oh, what's that? Oh. I think I need to poop.
The relaxation theory.
The relaxation theory, yeah.
That is one of the theories.
I like the coffee thing, though.
Some people have said,
even if you don't drink the coffee there, right, you may have an association with that. And Japan is huge into coffee, right? Like
I didn't know that.
I don't know if coffee in bookstores is like a thing, right? But they're in Japan. But like
here it very much is a thing.
Very much is a thing. So I wonder if like even the smell of the coffee, you have the association and the bookstore smells like coffee. That would be my theory.
That is one of the so you're kind of hitting on one of the major theories is just association. Which was one of the thoughts that I have as to why maybe I've never experienced this. They say people who read on the toilet, maybe they experience it more often because they associate books and reading with going to the bathroom. So you're in a bookstore. It makes you, you know, mm-hmm. it's just that sort of association. I've never been much to do that. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's why some people experience it. So that has been thought as one explanation. The coffee has been brought up. Is it just that you're walking around and drinking coffee and walking around and drinking something like coffee could make you have to defecate? So maybe it's just that. There is another theory that for a while they investigated. Is it the smell of ink and paper?
Okay.
That somehow stimulates the olfactory nerve and then it makes you have to poop somehow.
My coffee theory makes more sense.
Well, they checked this out actually.
Oh, really?
Once on a Japanese TV show, The Real Side of Unan.
Okay.
And they tried to get people to poop by smelling ink. Like they gave them ink to smell and then said, do you have to poop? And it didn't work.
No, nice.
And the big thing that kind of undoes this theory is if the smell of ink and paper makes people have to poop, why are the bookstore employees or people who work in places where books are manufactured, why are they not all the first ones to, you know, have this? And they're not. And actually, Mariko Aoki at one point even noted, I used to work somewhere in like a production facility where there was ink and paper, and I never experienced it there. So our first subject in this research kind of debunked that theory. This led to like a conspiracy theory, actually, that perhaps it was something the paper industry was doing to sell more toilet paper.
Oh.
We're putting something in
paper
in the bookstore that makes you have to poop so that we can sell you more toilet paper later.
I think we cracked it, Sid.
Which would be, that would be a wild move.
Be a wild playbook in this paper industry.
By big paper. I've read a couple gastroenterologist opinions who have said this might actually have something. Not that they're saying it's true, but like, there's some sense here. That when you are in a bookstore, if you're really looking at a lot of different things, you're bending down to pick up books, you're bending over to look at things, maybe you're squatting to like look at titles on lower shelves.
Gets those muscles going.
And maybe it's just a positional thing.
It squanches it around to make it come out like a Play-Doh.
Well, it's like a posture thing. I mean, if you think about items like the squatty potty, which put you in a better pooping position, maybe you're just putting your body in a really ideal pooping position a lot in a bookstore if you're in there for a while, and so then it makes you have to poop.
Could be that.
So it, I mean, yeah, it could be. And there were GI docs who were like, maybe. Anxiety comes up a lot, and in both ways. Like, is it anxiety related in the sense that you're out in public, and what if you do have to poop? Is there a bathroom nearby? And that fear of not being able to get to a bathroom actually stimulates, because we know that there are, you know, there the neurotransmitters from your brain affect your gut directly. Mm-hmm. So we know that in conditions like irritable bowel syndrome and things like that, it is not uncommon to have feelings of nervousness or anxiety lead to cramping, diarrhea, bloating, even nausea, you know, different things like that. Mm-hmm. It's like the more extreme extension of like a nervous tummy or butterflies in your stomach, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed by how casually you're throwing out poop, the word poop. You're getting really good at saying it without any hesitation.
Well, this whole episode, you know.
You've been training yourself.
There's also exactly like you said. So is it anxiety that causes you to poop, or is it the opposite? Is it that when you're in a bookstore, it's a relaxing situation? You're taking your time, you're browsing books that you might want to buy, you're enjoying yourself. Usually bookstores are soothing environments. They might have some nice music playing. Yeah. People generally aren't incredibly loud in a bookstore. And maybe you're just so relaxed, and that is you do need, in terms of like your parasympathetic nervous system, you do need to relax to poop. And so maybe the hustle and bustle of society is constipating you, and the calm of a bookstore
makes perfect sense.
Is a respite for your bowels.
I love this. That makes perfect sense to me.
There have been some more like philosophical kind of suggestions that like some is like when confronted with the overwhelming amount of like information and data and like this human creation of all that is in a bookstore.
Gazing upon the bulk of human achievement.
Yes, you're overwhelmed.
Look,
and you must
all
poop.
We've achieved as a society. I must add to this great work.
Or like an academic fervor. Like you get inside, you see all of this work and you just can't. You don't know how else to express it. Your body must.
I have no mouth and I must poop. This is, I should have sent a poet. Look at this.
And this gets into some more like, sort of metaphysical kind of like, I must empty myself to allow room for the information and the experience of the books and all this, like that sort of kind of take on it. Or just something as simple as the anxiety of having to choose one book over another. You get to the point where like, I've been in here a while, I need to pick a book. Which one do I pick? Is it
this
that?
This has gone far enough.
It's been investigated, could certain eye movements cause the urge to poop, as in like scanning bookshelves, scanning titles. Like they've tried to get people to like do gaze studies where they follow their eyes to do that. And does that trigger this urge? And then this idea of like, again, I thought this was interesting. I saw somebody draw the connection to meditation. So, and you meditate, I don't, but they talk about how in meditation, breathing is something that grounds you to like your physical self, mm-hmm. to the moment, till your presence still here on earth, mm-hmm. while your mind is going elsewhere, is kind of transcending your physical presence, right?
Yep.
Well, what if in the bookstore, all of the creativity and beauty and information is taking you out of yourself and into this realm of ideas and creativity and things, and pooping is a way of grounding your body in its physical self in the moment.
That one's not true. That wasn't making any sense. You spent a lot of time on that. It was nothing.
I just thought it was interesting.
It's not interesting. I just thought it was interesting. True. No, it's coffee. I cracked it. And squatting. Coffee squats.
It could just be squatting and coffee, but it could also be something about our urge to connect our insides with our outsides and ground us as we as we allow our mind to be taken by flights of ideas. You never know.
Or it could be nothing.
It could be. This is the other thing. A lot of people who studied it have also said, you know, maybe this is a different phenomenon. What's been called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. That? It's frequency bias. Mm. It's when you just notice. It's when you've never noticed this before, but then once it's called to your attention, you can't stop noticing it.
It's like after you read the works of Douglas Adams, and all of a sudden 42 pops up everywhere.
Exactly. It's just, you're just noticing it. So when this letter was published from Mariko Aoki about having to poop in bookstores, every time somebody had to poop in a bookstore after that, they noticed it. And maybe that's all this is.
We'll never know.
Either way, maybe after listening to this podcast, you're going to notice every time you have to poop in a bookstore or TJ Maxx.
And hey, if you do have to poop in a bookstore, tweet that at Sydney McElroy, S-Y-D-N-E-E. Sydney wants to know about where you're pooping, how you're pooping.
That's your personal information that you don't have to. HIPAA protects you from sharing.
Oh, wow. HIPAA protects me from telling you my personal pooping information?
That's not true, but...
But what if it was?
But what if it was?
Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to the taxpayers for their song Sawbones. Their song is called Medicines. It's not called Sawbones. I've only said this 378 times. Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the international of our program. And thanks to you. For listening. Oh, you know what? I have a quick little plug. Show you might like, if you like this show, if you like learning a little something, our friend Michael Beck makes a podcast called Ask the Ascot, A-S-C-O-T. Episodes are 10 minutes long. And it's just our smart friend Michael Beck, who is the, if you ever listen to The Adventure Zone, I stole his voice for my character Taco.
He's very smart and very funny.
Very smart, very funny. Ask the Ascot. Check it totally out. And that's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right. Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.
Are you feeling elevated levels of anxiety? Do you quake uncontrollably, even thinking about watching cable news? Do you have disturbing nightmares, only to realize it's 2 in the afternoon and you're up? If you've experienced one or more of these symptoms, you may have FNO, news overload. Fortunately, there's treatment. Hi, I'm Dave Holmes, host of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters helps fight FNO. That's because Troubled Waters stimulates your joy zone. On Troubled Waters, two comedians will battle one another for pop culture supremacy. So join me, Dave Holmes, for 2 doses of Troubled Waters a month. The cure for your news overload. Available on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.